The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bach. Linda's on assignment this morning, and I'm here with a Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And good morning to you, sir.
Last night, our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room, 7:06 in the morning, here on November the 19th. And what's it look like for today there, Bad Bob?
Showers likely mainly after 10 a.m., and that will continue throughout the day. Not a lot of rain, though. We're looking for not even half an inch. We got more rain on the way as we head into our weekend. Accumulations, hopefully we'll see more than what their forecast calling for, because just a lot of cloud and some cool weather, but not a lot of water on the ground, and that's what we desperately need. Currently 50 degrees in Reading. The report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. Locally owned and operated, senior and veterans discounts. Last night, Bad Bob and Brenda came over because I have a smart TV, which is, I've had it for a year, and it's smarter than I am. So I got it mostly programmed, but last night, Bad Bob rolls in with his technical acumen, and he said, okay. And so he picks up the, first of all, he used the right remote for it. That always helps. I had the right remote. I had four of them laid out there. I just wanted to see which one you'd pick. And the so he pushes a couple buttons and he says, "Well, you know what? We need to get into your wireless internet." And I said, "Okay." Well, I thought I'd worked at that one day. Anyway, he pushes two more buttons and he says, "Well, okay, here you go." So it's kind of like government work. You know, they spend a minute and a half on it and get paid $100,000. In this case, though, you got dinner. But thanks a lot
for
coming over.
Thank
you very much for coming over.
The new generation of TVs are going to be like really big smartphones, basically.
Oh, I mean, it is. I mean, now I can do a number of things on it just by pushing that one button.
Yeah.
Netflix comes up and all these others. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And it's really user-friendly once you do that. Yeah. So.
Well, they're more like giganto tablets, I guess, would be the way to look at them, entertainment devices rather than have little boxes to do everything.
You can type off this too, right?
Yeah. You can attach a keyboard to it, which is much easier than playing the Dymo label maker game with the remote.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sonny, in the chat room. Everybody's starting to show up and wake up here. But somebody that's always awake and is here and ready to roll is Patrick Jones, Reading City Councilman for
a couple more days.
Two more weeks.
Until December 2nd is my last day.
You know what? You don't go out with a, there's a quote about never going softly into the night that you probably have. Was that tattooed on your arm or something?
Well, I would have rather that happened, but this is an important issue. I look forward to talking about what occurred last night.
Okay, well, first of all, this whole thing, and it broke on Sunday, really broke late last week when the fact that, and it was based on the sale of the property to Shuffleberger, Mr. Shuffleberger, and it appears that there was a clawback on that the EDA has a clawback on it for 74%, and they are planning on clawing that back. And the way it's written here is EDA's determination of the fair market value price would be the appraised value of the EDA project land to be sold. This appraisal must be conducted by an independent, nationally recognized appraiser, such as an MAI accredited appraiser. This portion of it, though, is secondary to what you have brought up, though, right?
Well, yeah, Carl. First of all, this had occurred back in March or April, somewhere in that time, where the EDA, and that's the Department of Commerce, has made a determination that the clawback is in effect, and they set that percent at 74% of the appraised value. So that occurred. City staff was in communication with the Department of Commerce. The problem was that they didn't let council members know. Now, whom all they let know, I do not know. Apparently, Mayor Bozzetti knew.
Well, he was on, but he knew about it, as he told me, and without urging that he was on the team that did the negotiations. So he said, "Yeah, I knew about it."
He knew about it. McConnell Foundation knew about it.
Well, because they had done their due diligence, though.
They knew about it. Staff admits that they knew about it. But unfortunately, myself and Councilmember Gary Cadd did not know about it, and that information was withheld from us. So some council members received this information and others did not.
Did Francie or Missy?
We don't know. I don't know, because no one's really sane. And
well, Missy told me the other day that she knew about it, but she couldn't tell me when. It wasn't back when it came out. She says, and it wasn't official in the sense that somebody gave her a piece of paper that said this. She said that she was sure. She couldn't tell you when, but she was that somebody had mentioned this to her. You know, but it wasn't in something like sit down, here's wave a flag.
Well, it would have been nice. It would have been nice for city staff to actually mention it to their bosses, which is all five of us.
Right.
We are elected by the public. But bigger than that, it's one thing to withhold information from council members. That's insubordination, and we can deal with that. But it's a bigger issue when you withhold it from the voters as you move forward with a ballot initiative. That's voter fraud. If you deliberately withheld a key piece of information, I believe this is key. Now, our city attorney is saying that this is a minor issue, that this clawback clause is a minor issue, and he is absolutely wrong. This is not a minor issue. The fact of the matter is that a large portion of the sale price, whatever it may be appraised at, and the EDA may appraise their own, have their own appraisal done, so that is yet to be seen. But
we don't know that yet. They could just take one of. They could take the appraisal.
I suspect, with all what's going on, they are all but certain to do their own appraisal. With so much commotion made towards this, the fact of the matter is that if it was brought out to council members and to the public back in April, this wouldn't be a serious issue. But we would have to deal with the indemnification, and this is what I've argued about this whole process the entire time. And you've heard me say it before, Carl, that when we rely on a third-party indemnification, we're at risk, and that means taxpayers' dollars are at risk. Here we now find out that we have substantial risk of taxpayers' money, and it was not brought forward to the voters as they voted on it. That is a serious issue. That is not a minor issue. The indemnification is not clear here, and I believe that McConnell is not bound by documents and in a contract to indemnify on the clawback clause. That's significant, and that's why it was withheld from me and Councilmember Cadd, because we would obviously go to the press, as I did. That's why you're hearing about this story, is because I brought it forward. It should have come forward back in April, and it should have been before the voters so that they could have a clear understanding of just what we're getting into. It is possible that the EDA will do an appraisal, and it comes in much higher than the appraisal that we have today. And the city of Reading, the taxpayers, will have to pay that 74% to the federal government. And the federal government wants their money back.
But it also, isn't it possible that the EDA could waive this or accept the one they have now, the appraisal now? Or couldn't the...
Absolutely. There's all kinds of scenarios.
But see, I mean, there's worst case, and then there's best case, and then there's one that if you don't do anything and you don't close till June 25th, it all goes away.
Yes, but beside the point, unfortunately. I wish that was as simple as it was. So let's say that they keep it the same. 74% of that is $450,000. Is that a minor issue? Absolutely not. And that needed to be before the public, before they voted on it, and that's the issue here.
They needed to know that it would be indemnified, is that right?
They needed to know that they might be having to spend another $450,000, and that is significant. And so we're not – now we're being told in the ballot measure, in the referendum, we're told that we would receive $600,000. The truth of the matter is that it's $600,000 minus $450,000, and maybe McConnell might indemnify us if we make any deal at the close of escrow. So these are all unknown factors, but they're not minor, Carl, and they should have been out to the public. They should not have been withheld. That's the key factor here, is that key information – and all along, for a lot of us that have been in the trenches, and I've been there for 8 years, we've seen a connection and a relationship between city staff and the city attorney that's way too close with McConnell Foundation. And these are the kinds of things that occur when you're too close to an organization. You're not fair and impartial. Mr. DuVernay has also stated that, for example, with the Shuffleburger offer, which kind of brought all this up, that we can't even look at it. Unfortunately, what he's referring to is an initiative, not a referendum, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
We need to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, we're talking about the with Councilman Patrick Jones about the EDA pursuant of clawback of 74% of the funds to of the sale price of the property to the McConnell Foundation. They've already said in the first letter sent that they do want the 74%, but they also – there's other things to it that the way it's written, and we need to address that too when we get back. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools declining enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper and the Record Searchlight Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the People's Post Office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It is 7:21 in the morning, 51 degrees out there. May get a little rain today, not enough it appears. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Discounts for veterans, Espresso Joe's with just simply outstanding coffee and different flavored coffees, especially, you know, those holiday coffees that really appeal to a lot of people, lattes, all of that. That price is very, very fair. Then walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, and Joe and Shelley do thousands of things for this community that never, ever hit the light of day that are so positive. Big shout out to them. Our guest here is Redding City Councilman for the next couple of weeks, Patrick.
last night's council meeting
Patrick, you don't take that bad. The night of the election, I was going and visiting everybody, and I came into your place just as the election results came out, and you turned around when the very first ones came out, and you said, "Well, we lost." And you were very, very gracious about this. You said other people work very hard for this. You thanked everybody that had supported you and all these things.
Well, it's true. I've always enjoyed the process, and I've lost four times, I've won two times. So in six campaigns, I know the feeling on both sides, and I know what it's like to work hard and not be successful before. And mm-hmm. So I feel for those candidates that have worked hard and didn't make it, and the sun will rise tomorrow, and all
that's
well.
That's right. Everything moves forward. I understand the Turtle Bay has hired you as a consultant. Is that not true?
That would be great. Okay. No, I don't think so. You know, Carl, last night with really my last council meeting, and we will come back for December 2nd. We'll do the reorganization then, and then I've got another dilemma coming up on December 2nd. So we're not quite done yet in that this council, including myself, we have to certify the results of the Shasta County Elections Department. And with regards to this Measure B, I'm not sure I can. I believe the process on this has been tainted to the point where I do not believe I can certify those results. So time will tell. And ultimately, I'm hopeful that this will go to the state's attorney general for a review. I think that's the level that it needs to go
to. Mr. DuVernay has said on several occasions that he sees this is one of 15 things they have to do with property, with codicils and all these things put on there, that this one was no different than any others. And this is something that will be worked out, and that it was a trivial matter, something not important, if this is being done for political reasons.
Well, Mr. DuVernay, obviously, we disagree. Now, city staff and the McConnell Foundation were aware of this issue, and they intended to work cooperatively to address the issue during the escrow period. The problem is they didn't tell their bosses, and worse than that, they didn't tell the public. And worse than that, they didn't tell the public on a ballot initiative, and that could be perceived as voter fraud. That's a serious issue. And so if Mr. DuVernay thinks that's minor, then the attorney general might want to instruct to him that it's not minor. We're dealing with public funds in a substantial amount, and you've got to be open and honest about it. And when there is 15 or 20 or 30 issues, you're honest with all of them. So this leads to the question, if we are dealing with complex issues and we have a multitude of them, dozens in fact, you might want to tell your bosses when you have something substantial. And this is substantial. They're downplaying it. It's a technique that I've seen used before to downplay a serious issue. And that's an important fact as we move forward, constantly downplaying, constantly saying this is not up to council members. We're elected. These other folks are appointed, and we're elected to do the work of the public. And, I think this is a very important issue. I think it's very telling when they withhold key information from council and the public. I think it's telling of what we have. And for many years now, I've said the relationship between city staff and McConnell are too close. And we've seen the emails before. I've read you that email, Carl, where Mike Warren and Rick DuVernay are talking, and they're talking about two council members that can't be trusted or sabotaged with regards to this issue, which is Turtle Bay and the land sale. And
did they name the two?
They did not name the two, but it's obvious who they're talking about. And that comes from my city attorney. And so I'm disappointed in my city attorney. I think he's given poor counsel to the city council. And ultimately, I think it's clouding this whole process that didn't need to be. All we had to do was be open and upfront.
This would have made no difference if it had come out in April. Is
correct.
What you're saying.
It would have been simple and easy.
It would have been everybody. Would have
and
known.
We could have had a solid indemnification clause put in there. We would have scrutinized that and said, I want to see it in writing so that the taxpayers will not be holding the bag on this thing at the end of the day. And right now, that clause is not there. We're not indemnified on this clawback. We could be holding the bag for $450,000, maybe more. So this is a serious issue. It's not a minor issue, and city staff is certainly downplaying it. Now, at council last night, we tried to get this moved from the closed session out to open session. Very telling, because two council members, the same two that have been accused of sabotage, and tried to move this forward to the open session so that we could have an honest discussion with the public about it.
You and Cad.
Me and Council Member Cad, and that was denied by Council Member Sullivan, Council Member MacArthur, and Mayor Bozzetti did not want to discuss the issue. So it'll have to be taken to a higher power because they're unwilling to discuss it.
It was 5-0, though, about discussing it in the closed session, though.
It was, but it's not the place for it. It's not the place to hide it in the back room. It needs to be discussed in open so that the people can see exactly what's happening with their money. And so we'll see what happens from here.
Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yes, council majority and DuVernay and company kept saying last night that it was a minor issue, yet the hostility, which is a very diplomatic way of putting it, the hostility with which they defended their decision betrays a belief on their part that it was not quite so minor. So it's almost as if they were all hooked up. You kind of wonder if they were hooked up to a polygraph, what the lines would look like when they come across that particular subject.
Well, you know, who knows? We'll see tomorrow, Mayor Bozzetti, and perhaps.
In any case, they do not believe it is minor. Otherwise, they would not have been quite so hostile in their defense.
Well, maybe it's just hostility because they don't like Patrick. That could be part of it. The other thing, too, is tomorrow, Mayor Bozzetti is going to be on the show. And also perhaps City Attorney DuVernay will also be on the show. So, thanks a lot. Is Terry up now, or is that still Charles?
Terry's also on the line.
Terry, good morning.
Yeah, I just got a quick question for Patrick, and I wasn't able to hear, so maybe this question's been asked. But Mayor Bozzetti last night said he knew about this. Why didn't he inform his colleagues? Number one, number two. I have heard that Missy MacArthur knew about this. Is that true or is that not true? And is it possible that Francie Sullivan could have known about this? Is that true or not true?
Well, Terry, thank you. We did talk about this a little bit earlier, and Mayor Bozzetti said he did know about it, and that's for sure. The others were not exactly sure. Now, Missy said she might have heard about it.
Missy said she was, but she could not say when she heard it.
Right.
But she thought she had heard it. It wasn't official, like somebody handed her a piece of paper and sat her down and briefed her.
You know, we get briefings every day from city staff, so this is something that could easily have been done and talked about. And so it was simply withheld from council. And the reason why is because it had a substantial amount of money on the line and no indemnification clause towards it. And city staff felt that it needed to be quiet. In fact, if I had not pressured city staff to put this on the agenda, no one would have ever known about it to this day. It would have been continued to be kept down. And this is why I believe I was at City Hall for the last 8 years is for issues like this, because otherwise these issues would never have been talked about.
Also, the other thing is that I have heard, and I wanted to ask you about this. Also, you had mentioned that Congressman LaMalfa's office has heard about this. I believe that's true, and I don't know who contacted who on that as far as the EDA or the congressman's office. But that's another pretty interesting dynamic. And I think taking this stuff and kind of sweeping it under the rug and saying, oh, gosh, by golly, you know, if you put the list out, it's okay. All these things we're looking at, all these things are basically going to come home to roost because all these different issues do have investigations going on. What's your comment on that?
Yes, I am aware that the congressman is looking into this. He has an interest in this, obviously. Getting money back for the federal government's important. The federal government through the economic or from the Department of Commerce, $1.6 million grant, and they'd like to have some of that money back. So he is going to stay up on that. He is watching it closely, and then he'll see what happens as well as we move forward.
And as a taxpayer, I believe I should have known about that no matter which way I voted, number one. Number two, I realize that the city staff is not beholden to their bosses and not to the public or to the electorate. But, we pay their salary, and I just think that there's just so much going on there. One comment that the mayor did make last night is this is turning into Gotham. Well, if it's turning into Gotham, then, I would submit to you that the three who vote the same way all the time are the people who are creating Gotham.
Well, and all they had to be is open and transparent with this whole process. And
which Mr. DuVernay, I would say, rather nervously, in my opinion, said, yeah, you guys need to talk about this. Go ahead and do it. And then those three, of course, decided that that wasn't the course of action they were going to take.
Okay. Hey, look, we've got other people stacked up here, Terry, so thanks for the phone call. We've got to take a break. Hey, thanks for calling. Okay,
sure.
Our guest has been Redding City Councilman Patrick Jones. I'm sure that this is going to continue on. We've still got a couple weeks here.
Yeah, Nicole.
Tomorrow,
right.
As I was getting ready to say, was the mayor's going to be on tomorrow, and perhaps Mr. DuVernay, the city attorney, to give the other side of this.
Outstanding. Thank you for having me on.
You bet, Patrick. Thanks for coming by. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's time to sign up for the annual Turkey Trot, Redding's longest-standing family tradition on Thanksgiving morning. It's easy to register. Just trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA to register in person. Or visit www.shastaregional.com to register online. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the little gobblers 8 years and under, the 2-mile walk fun run for the entire family, and for the more serious runner, the timed 6-mile race. Start your Thanksgiving with a brisk trot, walk, or run. The annual Turkey Trot is just around the corner, so register your family today online at www.shastaregional.com or register in person at Shasta Regional Medical Center, Fleet Feet, or Shasta Family YMCA. For more information, go to shastaregional.com. Start your Thanksgiving with a brisk trot, walk, or run.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Redding Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
There's nothing like being home for the holidays, yet our animal shelter is full of wonderful dogs and cats that may not have a home of their own this holiday season. During the months of November and December, Haven Humane Society is challenging the community to give 200 shelter pets a home for the holidays. Adoption fees are discounted up to 50%. Please give a shelter dog or cat a place to call home this holiday season. Follow our challenge on Facebook and visit Haven Humane Society at 7449 East Side Road to bring home the greatest gift of all this holiday season.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:35 in the morning. Linda's on assignment. 51 degrees. It's going to rain out there. In fact, it could be raining right now. What's the weather rock? Doesn't say it's raining.
The weather rock is mostly dry, according to the official KCNR weather rock. We'll check the radar here shortly, but we are expecting off and on rain throughout the day.
What is our helicopter? What's the helicopter reporter say? we're up here. It doesn't look like rain to us. Okay, going back to the studio.
Great scene from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Hey, there you go. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. You know, John Bastiani is not only just a consummate gunsmith. He prides himself in his customer service for he and all of his people there, and always having what the customer needs in ammo and guns, and always at fair prices. All of this at Bastiani Arms. Give him a call at 222-8222 or stop by 2539 Larkspur. Now, we've had some changes in the programming. We the people have decided they want to change what they're doing, so they've left us and kind of a they not didn't leave us. They're still with us. We're trying to move them around. Jefferson State of Mind is moving over to Sunday mornings from 8 to 9, and then Sovereign Mind is spreading from 9 to 11. So with that, I've had a series of phone calls from. This gentleman who, I pick up the phone and he's going, now? How about now? How about now? Now? And I mean, all times of the day, I get messages from him. I get, there's a sign. There's a homeless guy parked by my truck that's got a sign that says, now? So I'm here with, David and Ernie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Swap and
Welcome
Sell.
Welcome to Swap and Sell. Good morning, folks. Hey, call in at 605-4567. Oh, no, that's not until...
I'm going to sell you. Okay, hey.
All right. That's Saturdays.
So we're moving Swap and Sell from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings.
That's right, we are.
You know what? You're excited.
Does this start?
This starts December 6th. There you go.
6th, okay.
Yeah. December 6th.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
2014.
Well, the thing is y'all are the only Swap and Sell, the only place that people can sell and buy things over the air.
In the
North State.
Well, in the world.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
But we travel. It travels all over the world, because we do stream. Now, you all, people, you advertise any type of things. I mean, yard sales and all this. But there are some things you can't.
Well,
sell,
we
you
don't
won't sell.
Advertise animals. They must be free with no rehoming fee.
No people or people part.
No real estate.
And no guns or ammo.
Maybe bows and arrows.
We're debating that.
Okay. No parts or people.
No people or people parts. Okay. No mother-in-laws.
And no animals. No, anything. Yeah, no. Even though I know this woman called in with her pet pig Uzi. That she was trying to sell.
That Southern lady, wasn't it?
It was her pet pig Uzi, and Uzi could sing, but y'all wouldn't even let her.
We wouldn't
talk
entertain
about
it.
We wouldn't entertain the whole thought on it. That's
sorry
right
about that. That's what we do. We stick to our guns.
Well, you know, we don't sell animals for a reason, because they might. Be a pedigree animal or something. Somebody's
shoplifted or
tired of listening to somebody's dog yapping next door, and they want to get rid of it. There's the way to do it.
Yeah, just come by and pick it up. Just get in the backyard, take it, and it's yours.
No,
somebody
no.
Want, might.
That's
wanna,
why we don't do that.
You know, yeah. Somebody might want to cook it for their girlfriend or something. Who knows?
Which, by the way, they found out. Thank God that was pork. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. No. You know the one that they said that the guy had called his girlfriend up, and it made nationwide news. Here's Reading in the news again for a guy that said that he had cooked up the girl's Pomeranian right here in town and served it to her in a sandwich. Well, they have proven that it wasn't It wasn't her dog. It was a. It was pork. So they've got him on other charges, but not that one. Thank God.
So how did they check before or after?
Well, no, they had parts. They had parts of the thing.
Yeah, because after he called and told her that, she kept the sandwich and called the police. As, you know, first of all, that she. This whole story is something, but you know,
it's bizarre.
You know, I hate to think of, you know, when Redding becomes, you know, Redding's famous for
baby
like four
man,
or five things.
The bumbling burglar.
Yeah, the bumbling burglar that crashes, you know, has the rock hit him and he falls.
The bathing beauties and Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Well, you have the bad breath guy.
Oh, the bad breath bandit. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't see that one. But anyway, the other one that had the FU tattooed on his forehead.
Oh, boy.
In 3-inch letters. Mm-hmm. We had that one. And then now, of course, the guy that fed his girlfriend at Pomerania. You know, I mean, all of these things are not ways of bringing people into Reading here.
But I want to tell you, Saturday mornings, right here.
Right here.
From 8 to 9 at December 6th. Now, until then, we're on from 7 to 8.
That's right.
But we can...
I was trying to drive you away.
Yeah, I know. We can sell... We can sell anything you want to sell, folks, except those items we mentioned. So if you have garage sale.
Or if you have an item you no longer need. Look, it's getting close to Christmas. It's time to get rid of those items. Get them out of your hair and let somebody else have them for a while and make room. There's somebody out there that could use those items, and those items can be a treasure for other people.
And I tell you what, you know, if you when you tune in on the show, there's a lot of things that move through swap and sell.
Oh, you bet. Recycling.
So this is a great place to advertise anything and find anything. Here's the other thing. Say, hey, I need a set of spark plugs for a 1930 Dusseldorf or something like that. You know, then you can, you know, you might find it. You know, somebody may have that. I mean, I've asked questions before. Somebody called in one time about a medal that her father had from World War II.
Yeah.
Somebody calls in like 2 minutes later and says, it's this medal. This is what it is because they knew what it was.
Sure.
So if you're looking for things that, you know, that may be a, hey, I need this Barbie doll.
That's right.
You know, for this collection, or I need this one for my kids. I really want to give them something like this. I mean, this is a good place to advertise this because there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, Barbie dolls. Ernie goes into his closet and gets those.
Yeah. Well, Dave has had me store those for quite some years now. So, you know, but you know, if
every time I call, Dave says, "Are we fired?" No, Dave, you're not fired. No, you're not fired. The FCC has only called me twice this week.
Yeah,
you know? And they call. I usually call. They've got their own section up in the FCC. The Ernie and Dave section.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's taking up.
Hey, I've seen those fellows before with a clipboard, and every check is like $10,000. They've come to me before like that. Yeah, talk to me. I don't like that.
Okay, now what's the weirdest thing you guys have sold?
Oh boy.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. And when we first got started, the weirdest thing that ever happened, and we looked at each other, and we call him Bigfoot Jim.
Oh, it's pretty cool, Bigfoot Jim.
Yeah, Bigfoot Jim, if you're listening, it was kind of awkward at first. But he said, I have Bigfoot heart and feet for sale.
That's right. And he has 55 gallon drums of gold.
Well, that wasn't so weird. It was
Well,
feet.
That's not weird, no. But you know.
Of gold?
Yeah, gold.
Well, you have to pan it out.
Well, you have to pan it.
But the feet, we actually saw these, and they're...
he brought them by.
He found these on his property. They're actually rock.
Yeah, they're petrified.
They're rock. Oh, it was a heart, yeah. A rock that actually looks like a heart that you would see in
Valentine's
Day.
No, it's a petrified Bigfoot heart. He's out of Keswick, dude. You know it is. And the feet.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, if it wasn't
Bigfoot Jim,
if it wasn't petrified
cool,
in the
I'm
real
cool guy. I am obviously not getting paid enough money for this. I am obviously okay. This is you know
this ain't
is,
going anywhere.
Hey, well, if you have a fundraiser, you can call us.
That's right.
You know,
you've raised a lot of money for the people around here. Now it's a good time for everybody.
We have helped the School of the Arts,
right.
And quite a few organizations.
If you're having an event. You know, give us a call.
Okay. Sure. And we're making a big change now, okay, on December 6th. If you've not listened to the show, if you've got – this is a great time of the year to get into this. You can sell everything, that you don't want. You can find things to buy for Christmas. You can get them at great prices. And these guys, they will advertise anything. If you they're out there doing personal appearances. They're doing remotes at events.
Far away remotes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not obviously far enough away. You find your way back.
That's right.
But anyway, this is Ernie and Dave.
This is your show, folks.
That's right. 605-4567. Just call them in that morning. We get phone calls during the week and say, wanting to talk to Ernie and Dave. And I said,
I'm sorry, they're back. Yep. They're back where they're keeping them right now.
Look, they got them locked up right now.
Check us out this Saturday from 7 to 8. And then December 6th, mark your calendar, because that's when we are going to move from 8 to 9.
8 to 9. That's all right. Right. Hey, thanks a lot for being here, guys.
Thank you.
All right,
hey,
Carl.
We'll be right back.
I want my
Carl
hat.
And DeBot.
CNR 1460.
Now, 10 and out, 25 and out, 35 and out, 50 and out, 60, really give me 60 and out, 75, 75, another 85, all of a sudden I'm there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal begin after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Are you interested in the future of REU, your community-owned electric utility? Hello, my name is Barry Tippin, REU's director, and I am personally inviting you to our 2020 Strategic Planning Open House, Thursday, November 20th, from 4 to 7 p.m. The Strategic Forum will be held in the community room adjacent to the Council Chambers at City Hall on Cypress Avenue. The electric industry is facing ever-changing challenges, and with your valued input, REU can obtain the highest standards, providing our community the best valued services. For more information, please call 339-7300. I look forward to seeing you on November 20th.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great 2-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl in the Bot. Good morning. It is 51 degrees there. It looks like it could rain today. 7:48 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Romance on the River with Wind River Casino and Resort here. Linda's going to be singing there on December the 4th, Thursday. And she sings there the first Thursday of each month, so December the 4th. Starting at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. And this is the third month there. And I tell you what, it is growing and growing. I mean, it was big to begin with. Now, you have to make sure you make reservations. 243-3377. Ask to sit up front. Ask to sit so you can see and hear the best. The sound system's good. You can hear everywhere, but you want to be able to see. And get there a little bit early for dinner. They have a special Romance on the River menu. Again, Romance on the River at an Elements Lounge at Wind River Casino. Listen to Linda and her band.
sing, and it'll be a special Christmas. It'll be a special Christmas show. So it'll be some Christmas songs and a whole bunch of other things. 243-3377. Okay, I'm here with Beth Woods, who is the marketing director of Mount Shasta Mall. That's huge.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, we were just talking while we're waiting to come on. Men spend 15 minutes shopping.
On Christmas Eve.
This is when men shop. They spend an average of 15 minutes. Come on. I can't. We're not that bad, are we?
I don't know.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. That's why I guess we wouldn't be making jokes about going to the latest, 7-Eleven with a little bag. A little bag you bring home from like Trader Joe's or something to put the presents in. Okay, I've learned better. I've gotten much better in my older years here. You've got a big thing happening.
Yes, we do.
Santa.
Yes, Santa arrives on Saturday. Our show begins at 5 o'clock. And we're going to have entertainment. We're having a pajama party with Santa. So we're encouraging all the kids to come in their pajamas. But more importantly, we have partnered with One Safe Place. And we are doing a pajama drive. And we're asking for donations of new pajamas. Newborn is size 14. And in exchange for that donation per child, we will give the children a free photo package. It's a special package redeemable just on Saturday night from 5:30 to 8. And all of the pajamas raised through this donation drive will go to children in our community.
Okay, so parents can bring their children down, and you want them to be in their pajamas.
If they like.
They don't have to be, but you'd like them to be. And then they bring a new set of pajamas in a package and donate that to One Safe Place for the children that need pajamas, and then they get a free photo with Santa.
Exactly.
Whoa.
They also get a couple other treats that are a surprise. We're going to have entertainment, dancing, music. It'll be a fun evening. Starts at 5 o'clock, and we encourage everyone to help us out and help out One Safe Place and the needy children in Shasta County.
Where's it going to be at?
Center Court. We're ready.
5 p.m. Center Court. And what time does Santa come out?
The show starts at 5.
Okay.
Santa will be there shortly thereafter. We're all decorated and ready for the season, so we're just waiting for him.
So what day is today?
November
19th. Is it getting earlier? You know what? I saw the other day, on Halloween, there was a skeleton with a Santa Claus hat on. Is that?
I hear this all the time.
Do you hear that?
The mall was just decorated last week, and I've been doing this for a long time. This is my 26th Christmas.
Is it getting earlier?
So it is. It has gotten earlier.
I start seeing Christmas stuff right at Halloween.
Yes, it does. And that's the retail world, and we really do try to keep it to the week before Thanksgiving, and it does take a while to decorate the whole mall. We have Charity Trail of Trees that's another partnership with the mall, and so we've been decorating for the last 7 days or so. We are complete now and just putting those final touches on. And, of course, Santa is the big show.
The big show, Santa. What's the busiest day? Is Black Friday?
Well, Black Friday, now that we are opening on Thanksgiving.
I remember that last year. What a huge brouhaha that was, that people were fighting it. And a lot of them didn't open on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Are all of them opening now?
Our department stores are. And, we follow that lead. And Macy's and Sears will be opening at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. JCPenney's is opening at 5. The mall is opening with the department stores at 6.
Okay.
And we will remain open for 27 hours through 9 o'clock on Black Friday.
9 p.m.?
Exactly.
Wow.
So 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving to 9 p.m. on Black Friday.
So they're giving you plenty of time to get the tryptophan in you, that turkey and dressing, and then now you can walk it off by hitting the mall.
Exactly. And there'll be a lot of, 6 p.m. specials and through the evening. Black Friday has just been spread out a lot longer.
Friday is like what?
Thursday.
Brown Thursday, Mauve Saturday.
The only thing I ask
Pink Sunday.
People on Hilltop and Dana Drive
take a deep breath and don't get all crazy on the street there. You know?
What you ought to do is have like fireworks going up and all this. You can make this into this could be like a giant. You know, it was like that TV commercial. Their little faces are up against the wall going open, 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 open.
And you'd be amazed. The crowds last year were amazing when we opened at 8 p.m.
Isn't that something? Yes. You know, and everybody thought, you know, because there's so much consternation. You're opening on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, my gosh, it's a day of family. Well, people have had enough family by 5 o'clock, obviously. You know, I'm ready to get out of this damn place and go shop now. Exactly. You know what? I've had it. Okay, I've hugged everybody. You know, frankly, Uncle Ralph over there drooling on himself during dinner is enough. I'm out shopping.
I think it's really become a ladies' night to get done with dinner, do the dishes, and then all the girls go out shopping together.
Boy, was that a sexist comment? You hear about this one. Oh, all the women do the. Let me tell you about our house here. Bob, is that what happens at your house?
Friends and family all there gathered around. It's a great time. And then for moms that have small children, getting up at midnight and going out is difficult. Having two small children, I know. So, being able to do it at 6 o'clock, you're home, you're in bed by midnight. You're good to go for the next day.
Wow. I tell you, the shop, Linda is probably one of the world-class shoppers. She and her mother.
I could compete with them. I know.
Well, I tell you what, there ought to be, you want a reality show? It's Shopping with June. but that could be something because there's a lot of times they'll shop for hours.
Yeah.
Until they'll find something and they'll buy it and then they'll just keep shopping.
I can do that.
Yeah. A lot of times you don't buy.
Right.
You'll just buy one thing.
Yeah. But I can say that the retailers are prepared to make the deals the best they can be for those early openings, and that's why they're doing it. So we shall see.
Now, the list. Now, this is what women need to do for their husbands or their significant others, whatever. Make a list.
Yes.
Make it a list of 10 things that you really like to have. It would be nice to have. Give us the list. Let us pick that. So it's kind of a surprise because maybe some of it, a couple of times I've been triggered because a lot of women will say, unfortunately, and men are bad about this too. I don't care. Just get me something. That's what men say. And then when they get it, they go, I didn't want that. A pair of slippers? Are you kidding? I needed ammo. But the thing is too, is what that does too is it triggers my imagination. Then if she says she wants this, then I can see where the other two things may fall into it.
It sets your parameters.
Yeah, it does. It sets it out like that. So give us a list, and it'll be happy this year. And I think same thing for guys. Just give your wife or significant other a list.
Sounds good.
5 o'clock this Saturday, right?
Exactly.
I think it's going to be a good time. Everybody's invited, of course. We want parents to bring their children.
Yes.
Kids can wear pajamas because it's kind of a pajama kind of night, but they're asking that they all bring a new pair of pajamas from sizes?
Newborn to 14.
To 14, and at which time they donate the pajamas, and this is your all's partnership with One Safe Place.
Right.
To make sure the kids have pajamas. And if you do that, you get a free photo with Santa.
Free photo package, and you have a couple different combos that you can get, and they're all redeemable that evening from 5:30 to 8.
Well, that's a great deal. And so people can get pictures and do something nice for somebody that's less fortunate. And it starts at 5 and with entertainment and dancing and singing and all those things.
Exactly.
Okay. Any last things? And then Black Friday starts at 5 p.m. Thanksgiving Day.
6 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
we open
okay.
Through 9 o'clock on Friday. And the shopping season is here.
The shopping season is here. Beth, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So does this make you crazy sometimes this time of the year? Make you crazy?
Oh, I've already had that. Now I'm.
You've had crazy.
I've had crazy.
Okay, now you've got that under control.
Now I'm going into calm.
Okay, now you're into calm because, the fight has started. You're right. You're planning now. You're engaged.
I start early.
Now, when's the next big push after Christmas?
We have Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can understand that, too. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thank you.
Everybody, get down there and support our local businesses. That's another big thing. Support our local businesses. All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have Sheriff Tom Basinko here. We're going to be talking, but Proposition 47 passed and the impact this could have on our crime here in the streets of Reading, and because we know that we've had a number of incidents everywhere. And the you know, so is that going to have an impact on us? Where's the latest on the putting these people away? And what about the ideas that April LaFrance and her people came up with to help fight crime right here in Redding? All of this when we come back and we're talking with Sheriff Tom Basinko. Bob, the what's the weather look like here today?
Well, a recent check of the weather shows that we do have rain up in the foothills. It'll be passing over Redding, but we're not going to see a whole lot of it, accumulations around a quarter inch or so over the next couple of days. But we do have several more days of wet weather impending. We'll see what it brings.
All right. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Stay put if you can. That's a word coming from officials in New York State, like State Trooper Victor Morales, who says current snowstorm is one for the record books already.
This was unusual because it gave us a very heavy amount of snow in a very short time. I believe we are probably looking at some records as far as snowfall in a very concentrated area, very narrow band.
And the weather has proven to be much more than just a hardship for some, tragically. At least seven deaths now blamed on the storm, including the latest of five victims who turned up in New York State.
Sadly, we have to announce we found an individual today, a 46-year-old male in the town of Alden. The car was buried under approximately 12 to 15 feet of snow, and he was found deceased.
That was Chief Scott Petronic with the Erie County Sheriff's Office. The entire country getting something of an early taste of winter, whether they have snow or not. And yes, forecaster Andrew Orison with the National Weather Service says that means the entire country, the mercury dropping below zero at least one place or the other in every state in the country, even Hawaii yesterday.
It's not uncommon at all to see the higher peaks of Hawaii actually get temperatures down to freezing or even below freezing. And it's not uncommon either for snowfall to occur as well.
Also at SRNnews.com, construction of new homes fell slightly in October after a big surge in the previous month. David Crow is chief economist at the National Association of Home Builders and says the weakness was largely driven by the volatile apartment sector.
That is always a volatile component on a month-to-month basis. It tends to seesaw back and forth. The really positive news and the underlying news in the report is that single-family starts went up 4.2%.
But apartment construction was down by 15.4%. At Wall Street, the Dow is down about 20 points right now, and this is SRN News.
20 years of debt management services, nearly $100 million saved in finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps.
My name is Mike. Trinity brought us relief by greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked by all the commercialism and those who want to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings?
It's like a carjacking, but like of our religion.
Isn't it time somebody spoke up?
This Christmas season, join Kirk Cameron in his new movie, Saving Christmas.
Join me and my family, and together, let's put Christ back into Christmas.
Saving Christmas. In theaters for 2 weeks only, beginning November 14th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information available at SavingChristmas.com.
U.S. safety regulators ramping up the pressure on the makers of some faulty airbags that have led to several deaths.
If Takata refuses, then we will take appropriate actions to begin a process with Takata and the automakers to force them.
That's David Friedman, Deputy Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. For now, Takata has only been recalling those airbags in humid parts of the country. It says that the humidity is having a lot to do with the problems that it's been facing, but the regulators say that's not good enough. Officials with the Christian relief organization Samaritan's Purse have a dire warning about Ebola.
While the media coverage is already decreasing, and people maybe feel like that Ebola has peaked, we do not think it has.
Ken Isaac says that despite reported progress against Ebola in Liberia, it continues to spread unabated in other parts of West Africa. It is blamed for more than 5,000 deaths in that region so far. This is SRN News. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been struggling along with the other major indexes in early trading anyway. It's a Dow down about 20 points. Yesterday, the Dow gained 40. The Nasdaq had been up by 31 points. A former U.S. soldier who was sentenced to death for killing two fellow soldiers and injuring 14 others says his lawyers were incompetent at his original trial.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces heard the case of 43-year-old Hassan Akbar. Akbar was a sergeant with the 326th Engineer Battalion of the 101st Airborne Division, based at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, when he was sentenced to death in 2005 for killing Army Captain Christopher Seifert and Air Force Major Gregory Stone in Kuwait 2 years earlier. Army Lieutenant Colonel John Potter told the judges the defense failed to prepare witnesses and errantly let jurors see Akbar's diary, which contained multiple anti-American passages.
This is Keith Peters reporting. More details at SRNNews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bob. Linda's on assignment today, but I'm here with Bad Bob. 8:05 in the morning. Gosh, you know what? It's a our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. What's the weather look like there, Bob?
Well, as we check the weather, we do have rain moving over the Reading area. So depending on where you're at in town here, you may see some rain or not. It's supposed to be pretty light throughout the day. Total accumulation for the next couple of days, around a quarter of an inch. We need a whole lot more. Right now we're looking at 50 degrees, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. Senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, you know what? After dinner last night,
when you chased us out of the house.
We chased you out finally. You run around. There's a lot of things. You have things to do. But I tell you what, dropping in to our sleep number bed and changing the sleep number settings last night. I went up to 45 last night and slept like a little baby. Just woke up this morning and went, I wonder if I'm late for work because it was great. And now with the new Sleep IQ technology that Sleep Number is offering, it couldn't be easier. They've got sensors in there that work with the dual air technology inside the bed to track how well you're sleeping. Gives you little ideas, sends you on your app, try this. And then you're going to then have your, it's not just your Sleep Number setting. It's going to be all the great things about Sleep Number. And with everything going on now with the shopping, as we just talked about the shopping, the holiday parties, all of that. It's going to affect your sleep and you need something to help you sleep. That's our Sleep Number bed with the Sleep IQ technology. And right now, the Sleep Number beds, you on the P5 bed, you can save $300 on the Sleep Number P5 bed. And you need to go down there to the Target Shopping Center, hop on the bed down there, let Brian and Jonas tell you just how good it is, show you how good it is. Made in America, guaranteed, and of course, was rated the best bed by Consumer Reports. That's the Sleep Number. All right. I want to make a couple of announcements here. Today at the Safeway down in Anderson, they're still having the Clean Right, Build Right people in the Anderson Chamber of Commerce are still collecting food for Stuff the Truck event to help people with Thanksgiving. They'd like to help about 200 families. So this is your way to go on down, take a frozen turkey, take anything down there, anything that could be used for a Thanksgiving dinner, stuffing packages, green beans, all those things, yams, potatoes, all of that stuff, and take it down to the Safeway down in Anderson and drop it off. Their other drop-off locations are the Cottonwood Eatery, Williamson Insurance, and Omega Mortgage. And in Anderson at the Craig Spafford State Farm Insurance and the Anderson Fire Department. All these great things to do. All right. We're sitting here with the Mon, Sheriff Tom Basenko. Good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? How are you, Sheriff?
I'm doing well.
Somebody was talking about you yesterday.
I'm sure they were.
That you were in a you were at a party one time in your mufti, as we say, without uniform, and that you had introduced yourself. Hi, I'm Tom. And they talked to you for like 10 minutes. Never once knew that you were the sheriff here. You know, it never came up, and it wasn't until later they said, "Yeah, I was talking to a nice guy over there." And, oh, you mean Sheriff Basinko? And the guy, you know, he goes, "Oh my God. I'm sure glad I didn't mention the 12,000 plants I had in the backyard." No, he didn't say that.
Getting out and talking with people and just being a regular person.
Well, let me bring something up that's near and dear to your heart here. Proposition 47.
Oh, yes.
That everybody, if any common sense, anybody that could actually knows what's going on around here, anybody that cares about the state would have voted against. And yet... What was the final count?
I think it was like 56%.
56% of the people in this state thinks it's okay to take felons and drop them to misdemeanors and bring them back into the community.
Yes.
Is the next thing that Charles Manson's going to be able to get married in prison?
Supposedly.
Oh, wait a minute. That is happening.
That is happening, yep.
You know the only good thing about that is? No conjugal visits. That was in the part of the report. He's 80 years old. He's marrying this. She's 26.
Right.
She says he's innocent. Yeah.
Okay. There's a book deal in the works there.
So. Yeah. Prop 47 has had a significant impact on law enforcement and communities statewide because when it was passed as an initiative, it took effect the next day that they could show that it won, and it wasn't that close. So it took effect.
It wasn't going to be overturned by a close vote.
I think Sacramento County was looking at releasing up to 400 people. They go back to court and get a court order that they were reduced to misdemeanors, most of them time served. We released about 20 people here from the Shasta County Jail. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, hundreds of cases that would be impacted that gets refiled from a felony to a misdemeanor. The courts have to go through, all courts, go through their warrants for arrest. And have those change from a felony to a misdemeanor, which ends up probably being into the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands statewide. Go into the computer system where the warrants are stored, and of course have to change those. Have to go into a nationwide computer and remove warrants that are reduced to misdemeanors because you can only have in this computer system you can only have felony warrants. So a lot of huge ripple effect as a result of Prop 47.
You know, I had the DA of Humboldt County on.
I heard that.
Did you hear that? Did you hear his argument? His argument was
I almost called in, but
you should have.
His argument was making more of a point to vote against it than to vote
for
it.
It was. Did you hear him say that? It was girl's argument. Well, this one isn't. This way isn't working. We need to try this. What about all these people that are really, he didn't have an answer. He just says, "Well, we need to get all those programs set up." It's got nothing to do with.
And now they don't have to attend drug court.
Oh yeah, I talked to a DA, not the DA, but one of the DAs, and he goes, "You know, we used to be able to have this as a hammer on them. That at least we could get them into the drug and alcohol treatment places, or they'd
now
go
they don't
to jail.
Have to.
Now they just laugh at us even more than they did."
And even before being a wobbler, they still could have charged it as a felon if they wanted to without Prop 47. I just heard on the news this morning that out of Tama County, CHP did a traffic stop and arrested a person for transporting 2.5 pounds of cocaine in a hidden compartment. And they were just sentenced to 4.5 months county jail.
It was a misdemeanor?
I don't know if they filed it as that, but two and a half pounds of cocaine.
Which is how much?
A lot.
I mean, how much?
It's 2.5 pounds, Carl.
I know that. I know it's a kilo there.
Street value.
I know it, but I was thinking of street value. It was something, I mean.
Boy, you'd have to figure out the grams for that per gram. But
it's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And I don't know if it was stepped on or cut down or not.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Okay. So, you know. Tom,
so we're reeling
from
that.
You and I have been talking. I mean, I've been in the business now for a long time, like what, 6 years. Anyway, going on our 6th year, in fact, next month.
Congratulations.
Well, we're starting. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. You've been here on the show ever for
just about from the beginning.
Pretty close from the beginning because that was one of the things we wanted to do.
Right.
Was have you and
right,
the chief.
I've been sheriff
on.
Now for 8 years, so it was right.
So
right
you've been on since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Proposition 47, 109. I mean, but you know, I keep thinking it's got, you know, we've got to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, here's another light at the end of the tunnel.
It's a train, right?
Yeah. The three-judge panel that was a result of 109 occurring has now told the state of California, hey, you need to release more because you're not meeting your quotas, per se, to get your prison population down. So now more are going to have to be released. And remember that 109 has been in effect since 2011.
Yeah.
So some of those nonviolent, non-serious sexual crimes, people have already been released.
They've gotten rid of the best.
Prop 47 of the worst, people right. are being released now, as soon as they get back in court and have them committed. And so what's next? And they're looking at how to figure out how to release second strikers.
Well, that criteria. You know, the... Now, what the DA did say was that, and we got to take a break after this, is that DAs can still charge them with felonies.
Sure.
They still have that. They still can do that if they want. But, you know, that's but under the guidelines, and somebody could fight that and say, wait a minute, you're charging me with a felony, and you didn't charge him with a felony for doing the same thing, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we got to take a break. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, Shasta County Sheriff, and he's just full of good news today.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Santa arrives Saturday, November 22nd. The fun begins at 5 p.m. at Center Court. Wear your PJs, see the first snowfall of the season, and enjoy entertainment with Santa. Bring a new pair of pajamas to donate to One Safe Place, and your child will receive a free special photo package from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Start the season by giving and receiving. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
It's beautiful this time of year. You've just got to get out and enjoy it. But achy, tired, and heavy legs can make you avoid things you love doing and keep you stuck inside with your feet up, missing out on the fun of fall. You may have venous insufficiency causing varicose veins, and treating it not only improves the appearance of your legs, it can also improve how they feel. So don't worry, you won't be stuck inside for very long. MD Imaging's board-certified vein specialists are your local vein and vascular treatment experts, trained in all the latest therapies for varicose veins. Our skilled doctors have been safely performing varicose vein treatments for over 9 years. Call MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center today at 245-5945 to schedule a complimentary evaluation so you can look and feel great.
Did you know Turtle Bay offers free admission to active duty military families? Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard the knocked out jailbird sing that rock.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. 51 degrees out there. So, you know, who the person you call right after you call us at 605-4567 and talk to the sheriff is you call Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642. I tell you what, you want that heater to work. I mean, we turned ours on the other day and it popped right on and everything worked perfectly because, that's right, Alliance Heating and Air was out there, checked it, made sure all the filters were clean, everything was working perfectly. If you got an emergency, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service with Alliance Heating and Air. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. Sheriff Tom Basenko is our guest. And, you know, Sheriff, you mentioned it. We're at AB 109 for 3 years.
And we've been reeling from that effect here and throughout the state.
We still don't have a place. And this is one of the things you have talked about, you know, and now be able to put some people away. I know, you know, you've done yeoman's work and you've gotten the new jail that's being built.
Right.
The new annex is being built.
Right. Getting in the process.
April LaFrance, one of the things they said was to, one, open up, spend money on the, another center.
You mean a sobering center or the detention center?
Well, the detention center.
Right.
And then another one, she's got 40 acres out there to build something.
A work camp.
A work camp.
I attended the meeting there. She gave 11 points, her and her colleagues, and probably to about 1,000 or
about
over
1,000
people.
It was very
well attended.
Right.
Part of it is, for us, being in the business or myself, none of them were revelations, news flashes of, gosh, I wish I would have thought of that. We have plans to try and reopen the annex. It has to go through a process of some remodeling to bring it up to current standards and codes for jails. And that would cost somewhere in the area of about $1.7 million to $2 million. She had some people, like we gave her a tour, walked through the facility. Then they estimated, and they were only there for like 30 minutes, they estimated about $1.3 million. So they were kind of in the ballpark for not being in the business. And that would end up housing about 60 to 80 people there. But then again, where do you get the money for that $2 million to rebuild it? But it would cost about $2 million to operate it. So where do you get that money? And that's from the Board of Supervisors, that's what they're strapped with because, quite frankly, the county budget revenues are not rolling in. But I'll be doing a workshop regarding that in our options because it's actually a good time for some other irons that are in the fire as well. We're moving forward with what we call the Adult Rehabilitation Center, SB 1022. That's going to be about at least a 64-bed facility, medium security for primarily sentenced people.
And that's going to be the one that's been planned on, right?
That's been planned on. We got that from state revenue bonds that we put in for. And that's moving forward hopefully around 2018 to open. We still need jail beds for pre-trial people. Those are people that are awaiting trial. Now, we got a little more room, if you will, with releasing some of those misdemeanors, but they're going to be replaced by violent felons and stuff. They're going to fill right up.
You've got that filled up. We need a place for 200. You've said it before, and you've said it for a year now. You need a place for about 200 people.
At least for pre-trial. We keep about 30 right now, about 30 people out of county. Those are people that are sentenced. And we have a little over 20 people that are serving in our jail, just here at the jail. There's others that are serving anywhere from 1 year up to 9 years. And that's because of Proposition 109, where they can do county time now.
Boy, isn't that great?
A lot of challenges ahead. I was in Sacramento yesterday for a training and seminar. We were presenting, myself and probation chief Tracy Neal, were presenting on some of the successes that we've seen here in Shasta County and some of the challenges that we're seeing.
What is successes? We need to hear that because, frankly, Tom, you know, the same things we keep addressing all the time.
Now the successes, you may not – a lot of people say, well, we need more bed. That's not a success because we haven't gotten more.
Right.
But we're looking at rehabilitative programs through probation such as anger management, parenting skills. But then also we've gotten vocational skill trainings both in the jail that's going on and at Shasta College. And she's trying to get them an education, whether it be a GED, high school diploma, or a vocational certificate. And then they can be gainfully employed. And we also have an employment program to help educate them on how to gain employment.
How many people went out to Shasta College did you start with?
The first cohort was about 20, and we're on our second cohort now. Some of them are repeats because of their
– How many people made it through the first one?
One has graduated, and then there will be several that will be graduating here. She obtained her certificate in office administration.
Great. And so what was the biggest problem?
The biggest problem was –
Did they come from the jail and go out there?
They were sentenced, so they were on our alternative work custody program, and then we screened them. The biggest problem that we've seen is a few committed a new crime, not out at Shasta College, but while they were out and about.
They were wandering down the street.
Some got back into drugs. But the biggest one we found is they weren't used to the structure of going back to school.
Having to go to school every day.
It even gets more basic than that. I have to set my alarm clock to get up. Hey, so you need somebody to remind them. Or buy an alarm clock. Don't forget to put gas in your vehicle. How are you going to get there tomorrow? And we were talking yesterday with a professor, and he said, you know, basically I said some of them need a mommy and a daddy or some mentor to tell them to do all that. Well, that's from years, probably most of their adult lives, from being institutionalized because they're told when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, when to change their laundry. They have no responsibilities, and they've gotten used to this lifestyle, but then you push them into academia – and then they're on their own.
Or a work lifestyle.
So we've also partnered with the Good News Rescue Mission. They have a great educational program down there for GEDs.
Yeah.
And they start working them back into getting used to that structure of studying, getting used to their homework and everything.
Because we had 20 people that were going to get a free ride, essentially. They were going to be able to go to school. It was going to be taken care of. All they had to do was show up and participate.
Right.
And you got one of them through it.
Yeah.
So well, you know, you can't quit, though. I know you're not.
It's a small number, we look at that one as a success and build on it from there. All of them are also GPS'd with ankle bracelets on them that go out there, and they're screened heavily. And then they have regular meetings with faculty, and we do, to make sure things are going smooth. We're checking up on them, and it's been well-received by the Board of Trustees at Shasta College as well.
As long as they're not a problem out there to
they
the
have
students,
not
which,
been a problem.
Which they've never been. But then again, it's probably because most of them don't show up.
They are showing, but like I said, a few of them have dropped out, and then a few needed to get a few more credits before they can complete, so they're working forward on
it. Well, good. Well, let's hope. You know what? It's got to be. We've got to break the cycle someplace. And, you know, the parenting and the anger and the drug and alcohol management and all that. And see, that's where you and I are not, but this is where the state is falling down, totally falling down on this, is that we can arrest them, we can prosecute them, we can incarcerate them. But unless we have the financial means of taking care of the problems, which are the drugs and alcohol, the anger,
they're doing what they do before.
And building some kind of – helping them build a support system for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I say help build it because we need to be able to help them. Like this thing with Shasta College. You gave a chance to 20 people. One made it. You know, a few others will make it to the next group. Maybe the next group will be better because it's screened better or whatever. Maybe it's a different group. But we have to be able to break that cycle. If we can't, then we've got to be able to incarcerate them.
And we've also partnered with the Shasta Builders Exchange for a program on vocational skills and getting their diploma as well. And that's called a program that we have going on out there. So we're trying to break that cycle of recidivism, part of it through education to where they can get gainfully employed. We've also have some certificate programs within our jail to learn how to work in a commercial laundry because we have one in the jail, and also with food service handlers that maybe when they get out, they could take what they learned in the jail through a certificated program and get a job in either the food industry or the hotel industry or other commercial laundry operations.
Well, there's a lot of things out there to help people, and as we're seeing here, that they have to have a completely different mindset.
They have to be willing to help themselves.
They have to be willing, and if they're not, then we need be able to have the ability to drop a hammer on them to keep them to do that. Because frankly, the ones that didn't show up out there, probably nothing happened.
And we're seeing this. Yes,
nothing happened.
Well, nothing happened. They did get returned to custody. They could have been shipped out to other counties. They still had to serve their time, but unfortunately, it failed. But hopefully they'll be back, and we can get another shot at it. Mm-hmm. And this is being repeated county after county, where we see similar type things.
It's not just up here in Shasta County.
No. Like also the ability for jails. There are just several counties that are on the cusp of saying no thanks to the state money for jails because they can't afford the operational cost of the facility. And Amador County turned money back in. I believe it was Calaveras. And we're seeing,
what do they do then?
Just like we did. Just like our board of supervisors said, hey, I went out and got $35 million in award. But the board said, thanks, state of California, but no thanks because we can't afford to operate a 232-bed jail, additional bed jail of $6 to $8 million a year. So those other counties have returned money.
I see
money.
What you mean is that they're to build a facility, but they can't
afford to operate it. So they say no thanks to the money, and they're in the same situation as we are.
No. Okay. Hey, we got to take a break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Hey, let me knock on wood here. Men, wake up. Here you go. Four Winds Jewelry, estate jewelry, outstanding selection of those presents that your wives are going to like or your significant others. Linda loves it there at Four Winds Jewelry. Go in and talk to Leonard. He's got it all. He's got it from estate jewelry to loose gems to brooches to rings to watches. They're all there at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basinka, will be right back.
Get 0% financing for up to 72 months right now on all new 2015 Kia Optimas and Kia Sorentos at Redding Kia and a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Plus, complimentary lifetime oil changes. See Redding Kia for details. On approval of credit, plus government fees, taxes, any dealer documentation processing charge, and any emission testing charge must finance through Kia Motors Finance, subject to prior sale. This offer ends December 3rd. Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding, reddingkia.com.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites. For those who don't want to worry about fuel on site, give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated, peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed. And we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment this morning. 51 degrees out there. It looks like we're going to get some rain. Not enough, but it is going to be some rain today. 8:34 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across from the subway there. Man's Last Stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans, and just the cheers of barbershops right there at Cypress Square Barbershop. We go there. Everybody we knew goes there.
Bob just came back in from outside, and the weather rock is dry, so it's not raining yet.
There you go. He goes out and he holds it outside, and sometimes he comes back in, his hair is disheveled, which means the weather rock is windy.
Yeah.
One day he came back with, he was very cold, so it was very cold outside, and a lot of times he comes back wet. So we know that it's raining with the weather rock.
So does that mean he's all wet?
No. Bob is never all wet. Bob fixes my...
He keeps things running pretty smooth here on the tech side of it.
We don't want to upset Bob. I guess it's Sheriff Tom Basenko here. And we're just talking about all the things that... I mean, it all goes back down to dollars, doesn't it?
It does.
It all comes down to that.
You know, like part of the 11 points that were made at the town hall meeting. Hey, we need more police officers on the street.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There was nothing there that was a surprise.
No, it wasn't. And how do you pay for them? I usually like to pick the number 10 because it's easy to multiply by. So for us, if we needed 10 deputy sheriffs, that's roughly $1 million in salaries and benefits. And then you have cars and radios. By the time it adds up for all the other support stuff, you're about $1.3 million. And then you need more clerks to handle the paperwork and filing and everything like that. So it has a huge ripple
effect. More DAs, more of this.
Exactly. It's a system.
And the whole, you know what, so do you see another tax coming?
There has been discussion. The Measure F, while it did not pass because it needed
pretty high,
66 and two-thirds.
That's a high threshold.
A very high threshold. But it gained about 56% of the vote, which was very positive for a tax. And had it been written differently, Measure F, it could have passed because then if it was like Anderson's with an advisory measure, we would have that.
If it had been just a strict general tax.
A general tax, and then you have it. What you had on the could have on the ballot or would have had is an advisory measure. Hey, if it passes, should it go to
how much
law,
go
enforcement?
Law enforcement?
And if they vote that yes, then it goes in. And that's what happened in Anderson.
That advisory is just an advisory.
But
city council can do anything they want.
They could, but most of the time, being elected officials, hearing from the voters that that's what they want, they would go that way. That's what they did in Anderson.
You would think so, and that's worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think this should be a county initiative instead of a city?
I think that there are discussions occurring as we speak about consideration for that. You could have to wait probably until the 16 elections, or excuse me, yeah, the next one's coming up in 2016 elections. to see that occur unless they had a special election, which is costly for the county as well.
Okay. One of the things that came up the other day was the question when Sam Paredes was on was about open carry.
Mm-hmm. Sam's a good guy.
And he talked about how sheriffs can issue open carry permits.
Not all sheriffs. Only sheriffs of the counties that have less than 200,000 in population. Shasta County qualifies for that.
Would you ever issue an open carry?
I am a very strong supporter of the concealed weapons carry process. And then if you have a concealed weapon, obviously, if you're carrying it correctly, it doesn't alert anybody that you have a gun on you. And then if you need to use it, you can. A lot of times if somebody would see a open carry gun, it could have that person be vulnerable if they get knocked down, gun taken away from them, used against them. And so that's very common. We even see that occasionally in law enforcement where an officer gets into a fight. And the suspect can end up –
Goes for the gun.
Goes for the gun, takes the gun away. With today's holsters, it's a lot harder to get those guns out of the holster for suspects that are trying to do a gun takeaway. But if you have it in your hand, you get into a fight, gets taken away, it can get used against an officer. So we have a lot of training. So I fully support the concealed weapons process for people to carry concealed. I'm not aware of any any sheriff or chief in those types of populations, anybody in the state issuing an open carry permit.
So then you won't.
I won't, but okay. I'll still support.
No, I understand that. You know, I understand how
have 6,000 concealed carry permits in Shasta County, and that's up from when I first took office by about 4,000.
We're trying our very best to teach us. You know what? We're turning out 20 every other week.
From most of the CCW instructors I speak with, their classes are full.
And they're full, and our advanced class is full too,
yeah.
You know, which is, you know, something else. Tom, is it because it's not just AB 109?
People do want to be able to protect themselves, defend themselves, and I think that gives them that part of the feeling to be able to be in control and not be unarmed. There was a recent court decision that came out of San Diego that said, hey, if you list self-defense as part of your good cause for concealed weapons, that's enough.
You know, that was a huge ruling, that Ninth Circuit Court. Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, all of these. And all you have to say is for self-defense, and they must issue.
Right. Right. And
if they passed the background.
For us here in Shasta County, that was no change. I accepted that. And we were well ahead of the curve for decades in that arena. For other sheriffs, that was a big change for them and chiefs of police.
Well, I wrote on mine is when you said, you know, when it said purpose for a concealed carry, I said, you know, Linda's got one. You know, so I figured if Linda had one, I wanted one too. And so it's kind of like, you know, anyway.
But
okay, I didn't do that.
I did see also that there was another court decision that if you have a concealed weapons permit and you've already gone or you've purchased a firearm and already gone through the 10-day wait and been cleared, you don't have to do it for every firearm. And they gave the state about 180 days to come up with a plan on how to implement that.
Boy, would that be great.
Well, it's law. The state is supposed to come up with a plan on how to implement it probably sometime after the first of the year.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you've already got a concealed carry permit.
To get your concealed carry permit, you have to go through a background process,
right.
Get fingerprinted, and get cleared.
Right.
To have that permit. And so what the court is saying, hey, if you have that permit, you shouldn't have to wait 10 days. The original 10-day waiting period started out as five, but the original 10-day waiting period wasn't for backgrounds. It was called a cooling off period. So
right.
Somebody couldn't go into a gun shop angry, buy a gun and walk out with it.
Right.
And now it's morphed into, well, we need it for background checks. That's what it was designed for. So they're basically saying, hey, if you're a law-abiding citizen and have either purchased a gun recently or have a concealed weapons permit, you don't have to go through the background check again and wait 10 days.
Oh, I would like it also to say is if you add another. Why do we have to keep adding, you know, going back and wasting time, money, and in your people's time,
right.
To add another pistol onto a concealed carry? I mean, if you've already been given permission to carry concealed,
right.
A concealed weapon, why do they care which one you've got?
Right. Now, some states are like that. You don't have to list the guns.
Yeah.
The state of California requires that you do list the gun. And then, of course, that goes into a database, too, of what guns you have on a concealed weapons permit.
I don't know if that makes – does that make a difference to you?
It doesn't make a difference to me, but it does to some people.
Now, what this also means is people in San Francisco that want to start to carry. Now, if they go into the sheriff's office, you know, they can go in and say, look, I want to carry a concealed weapon. You've got to issue that to me.
Correct.
Okay. We'll you know what that must be? That must be just tearing them up in San Francisco.
Probably in San Francisco. And a lot of people say, hey, well, our permits good in San Francisco. Absolutely. They're good,
for
the entire state of California. There are some restrictions on where, like post offices, federal buildings, things
yep.
like that. But
absolutely.
They're good for the entire state of California.
And I've also heard anecdotal stories about you go to San Francisco and they find that you've got a legally concealed weapon that they give you a bad time sometimes.
I would hope that doesn't occur. I'd take exception with that if that did. On the one, if anybody from Shasta County ended up in that situation, I'd go to bat for them.
I know you would. Okay, let's go back into what are we looking at now for the next. let's say, the next 6 months now, especially with this new thing happening. We need to – what do people have to do? I know now with Christmas coming on, we've got to start talking about taking care of yourself, your family, your house, and your cars and all that.
I know both Chief Plenty and I will be, again, preaching and trying to hammer in crime prevention.
What we'd like to do
don't become a victim.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We got Black Friday coming up. For after day after Thanksgiving, everybody
starts on Thanksgiving now.
Yeah,
that night.
I'm a day after Thanksgiving person, but anyway,
I know.
Go shopping. Lock your cars. Put your shopping spree gifts and the stuff that you bought. Don't make them visible in your car. Put them in the trunk. If you don't have a trunk, make sure that they're covered in some manner so they're not visible. If you're now that it gets dark around 5 o'clock or so, if you're out in a parking lot, park near a light standard if you can, so you can see your vehicle. And as you're approaching it, look around to see if there's anybody in vehicles that is near yours or maybe crouched down or near a vehicle. Your homes, please, always lock your home. There's still a number of people that don't lock their home. Lock your home. We've talked about that beautiful Christmas tree in the front window, and it is beautiful.
With those packages underneath them.
But all those packages underneath also say, hey, come break into my home and steal all the packages. If you have a rural mailbox, maybe have the packages delivered someplace else because people go around in the rural areas and looking in mailboxes to steal Christmas cards, gifts coming in. We've seen all the videos on national television and different things of the monitoring systems on someone's front porch, and then people stop, run up the sidewalk, grab the UPS package that's been left off there and steal it. So see if you can get it delivered when someone's home.
The other thing, too, is I just saw and it was on the part of that Reading Crime Watch. We have to take a break here. The Reading Crime Watch where somebody busted open all the boxes.
On a cluster mailbox.
You saw that, too,
I'm sure. That's very common, especially this time of year or around the time of month when Social Security and other checks get come in the mail.
Okay. Sheriff Tom Basinko is our guest. We're talking about how to keep yourself safe during this Christmas season. We've talked about the AB 109 problems. We've talked about the and it comes right down to it. It's the money thing. On how do we put people away here? How do we put a dent into this? That when we come back, I want to talk about maybe perhaps we can talk. Pray that we have an extra cold, wet winter might push people south.
We'll be
right back.
Okay.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football back to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices. Those are our primary goals. Redding Concrete is located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas. I've been in practice for 10 years as owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. Not only do we have fun seeing entire families and athletes, but we see the hard workers of this town. We love our occupational athletes. Work better, feel better, reduce injury, prevent chronic disease, boost metabolism, increase energy and productivity, live a healthier and pain-free life with my new exercise app for your phone and computer. Check us out on Facebook at HealthWise Chiropractic. For a free one-month trial, use Dr. Maria 1. We love our occupational athletes at HealthWise Chiropractic.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, I am Molly Kidd from the KCNR staff, and I just have to tell you about my new favorite habit, Adamson's Peak Performance. Not only has the staff been nice and caring, they have been encouraging and supportive. I have even had trainers personally call me just to see how I was doing. From small group classes, booty bar, and team training, they have the right fitness schedule for you. Now I'm losing inches and feeling great. Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006, because why wait?
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt. It's Wednesday, November the 19th, 8:48 in the morning, 51 degrees out there. It's going to be raining today, not as much as we want, but it'll still be raining. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. I want to remind everybody that Dr. Christy Davis is giving free comprehensive eye examinations to all veterans during this month of November. And it's extended to all veterans currently serving, honorably discharged, retired. You have to have proof of service, which is not unusual by any means. And they'll take place at Dr. Davis's Park Marina office by appointment only. Give her a call at 222-7271. She's doing this out of the goodness of her heart. I mean, this is a cool thing. Her dad's a Vietnam War veteran, so she's got a special interest in the well-being of those who have served our country. So thank you so much, Dr. Christy Davis. We're running spots for this, and that we're doing as a public service. But we appreciate what she's doing. Sheriff Tom Pasinko is our guest, and we appreciate what Tom's doing.
Thank you, Carl.
We talked about safety. Now, one of the other measures was Measure A.
Measure A.
Measure A means is that what the Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted that no outdoor grows.
Correct.
This wasn't even – this wasn't a close one, was it?
No. It passed with, I think, 56% of the
56?
Vote. 56? Wasn't even close.
Okay, 56% of the vote. That means there are no outdoor grows. What difference
means
is that?
Well, it means – I won't say there are no outdoor grows, means that but they're not legal.
Okay, so where Bob lives, there's a guy next to him that has an outdoor grow.
That would be illegal because, again, just like anything else, this measure took effect the next day.
So if Bob calls to the sheriff's department and says, this guy's got 80-90 plants out here, I want you to do something about it. What happens then?
Then we put it on the list, the to-do list to get there. And it could be
the honey-do list.
The honey-do list. It's a long list. Now, this is also the time of year. A lot of the plants have already been harvested. They like to get them in before the first set of rains come or the first frost. Up in the mountains, there's already been the frost there. We just had frost the other day because it burns. So I'd be a little surprised if the guy still has them outside near Bob, but he could have. And then we'd go there, knock, knock, who's there?
Uh-huh.
And it could be the code enforcement officer accompanied by a deputy sheriff. And then go from there. It could end up eradicating the plants, citing them for a nuisance violation of the county ordinance for growing outside. There's a lot of other criteria. Can't be within 1,000 feet of a school bus stop. Has to have a fence around it, a wooden fence. The plants can't be above it. And it has,
and the bamboo
has to be,
doesn't work.
The bamboo little rollout fence doesn't cut it. It has to be lockable, have a lockable gate. And now with Measure A being passed, the plants have to be grown indoors inside of a separate barn, shop, garage, shed. Can't be done inside your house or inside your attached garage. And it has to be, you have to have a residence on there, and you have to be the patients that are 215.
And you can't store marijuana in your house.
Can't store marijuana in your house. Does that
any amount?
Technically, any amount. The spirit of the law is bulk storage. Sure, if somebody had their personal use in there, quote, their medicine, they're not going to probably end up getting a citation for that. But the opponents of Prop A were saying, oh, if you had one cigarette or 1 ounce, yeah, it's a technical violation, but I really can't see someone getting issued a citation. If you got
like
100 pounds.
Like smoking in the park.
Yeah, if you got 100 pounds in there, that's a little bit different. That wasn't made for the store.
Or 3,000 pounds.
Or you turned your spare bedroom into a drying area. That's improper as well. But we need some more staff to help enforce that.
What other people have said is that it's not going to make any difference at all. It's just going to push. It's going to push people back into the forest again, where they destroy the
environment. And that becomes if it's on public land, that becomes a federal offense. Yeah. Could become a federal offense as well.
Literally in the paper today, they're doing this study about the fisher.
Which
is a weasel-like animal that is, you know, I mean, it's wild.
I've talked to that doctor.
One to 4,000, and there's only 1 to 4,000 of them left in the areas up here, and they're trying to, they want to make them an endangered animal. But what they're finding is, it's not the fact that of course, they're losing habitat to fires and logging, they say, even though Sierra Pacific is doing a whole lot to save the fisher population. But what they're finding is the rodent side that's being used in the marijuana grows.
Killing them.
The illegal marijuana grows out there is killing the fishers. And every one of the fishers that they've captured and done blood samples on have had this rodenticide in them.
Correct.
From illegal grows or from growths of marijuana.
It either kills the adult or juvenile fishers, or it also causes the females to abort their young when they're carrying them. And that's been a huge issue. And they find that in there. A lot of it's due to the rodenticide Ferdan, which is completely banned in the United States.
Wow.
But it still gets smuggled in and used. And then they're finding rodenticides in bears because they also are a scavenger and go up the food chain
eat,
as well.
They eat anything that's on the ground.
Sometimes these marijuana growers make what they call a bear bomb. And they'll take rodenticide and then wrap it up around peanut butter or other tuna fish, dog food, and then the bear comes along, eats it, and then it kills off the bear.
Well, why do they want to kill a bear? Does a bear destroy – does a bear, like, what, steal marijuana or eat marijuana? What?
Well, then they go looking for pizza afterwards.
Is that what happened to that bear that was in here in the city?
No,
here?
What the bears do, they come into the camps and they have their garbage dumps in the camps that are out in the woods, and they're scavenging in there, tearing up the tents and everything, and that's why they don't want the bears around.
Okay.
They also try and kill off the deer in the outdoor grows as well.
All right.
Looks like we have a caller.
Yeah. Mike, good morning. Do you have a question for the sheriff?
It's more of a comment than is a question. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for doing what you do.
Okay, thank you.
Couldn't we take an out-of-work contractor of some sort that's just barely making ends meet, take some of these 109 guys, teach them a trade of building outdoor outhouses, out shelters for these growers, and then tax the heck out of them, and have them build the properties and everybody wins?
Bob missed his 10-second delay there.
Oh, are we on it?
We nailed it.
Oh, okay.
It went out over the internet because of the way the system works.
But, you just can't build a shed and put it up on a property for them to live in because it's illegal to go out and camp out just in the woods and grow marijuana. It's illegal to grow marijuana on U.S. Forest Service lands, and so that would be illegal. And on private property, those sheds have to be meet permitted for living quarters and stuff, so that would not be practical. But I kind of get what you're saying is putting out of work people to work and using inmate labor for things, and we do use inmate labor around in our parks and cleaning up trash and stuff. But thanks for the call, Mike.
I hope we dumped that one. Okay.
Yes, the button was employed twice in a row.
All right, Mike described what was happening.
He used some graphic terms.
Thanks for the phone call, Mike. You know, it's an idea. I just saw in Indiana or something that when people are on the welfare that they're putting them to work back there before they can get the checks. They're putting them to work and out, in the communities. Is there any way we can do that?
That'd be a good question for. Excuse me, our Health and Human Services Director, but I was aware, thought that we had in California, that we had a welfare to work program that was in place decades ago, but I'd like to know what's happened with that.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
And what's it take? Because it seems like everybody you see, the homeless people, transients, people on probation, the two things they always have is a cell phone and cigarettes. And I know cigarettes are $5 a pack or so, and cell phones aren't cheap, but they all have them.
You know, Sheriff, you know, when you come here, we talk about this during the break, is that we're making some progress. And we're trying to do things, but it's almost like your hand is tied. What you're trying to do is one hand tied behind you. And
sometimes it feels like you take a step forward and then you slide two back sometimes.
You pass laws about marijuana, but you don't have enough people to do anything about it.
Well, it's kind of like speeding vehicles. So we know that if you travel down the freeway, there aren't enough law enforcement officers, highway patrolmen to enforce the speed limit for everyone that speeds, but they're out there enforcing it and catching a few of them and trying to make the highway safer. It's going to be the same thing here. We don't have enough deputy sheriffs and code enforcement officers to hit every spot, but we're going to do the best that we can with the resources that we have to implement this county ordinance.
Well,
a lot of challenges.
Well, should be interesting next year. We got one more show here for this year, and then we start our sixth generation.
Well, we're coming up on the holiday season. I want to wish everybody a safe holiday season. We got Thanksgiving come up. There's a lot to be thankful for, even though it's some very challenging times. And of course, Christmas. Lock your cars.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Sheriff. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. New York's governor heads to snowbound western New York later today as the region deals with a storm of historic proportions. Some places are buried beneath 6 feet of snow, and 5 deaths are blamed on the harsh weather. Scott Zilka with the Erie County Sheriff's Department in Buffalo says it's not over yet.
We're still seeing great heavy accumulation of snow south of the city, still making roads impassable even for plows and construction equipment to help clear the snow.
And even if it does stop snowing today, there's more in the forecast for tomorrow.
The National Weather Service is predicting another 2 to 3 feet of snow.
That will amount to as much as 100 inches of snow in the hardest hit areas. That's a year's worth of snow in 4 days, according to Deputy Erie County Executive Richard Tobey. President Obama